Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate, my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you, because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. John chapter 14. Thank you, Father, once again for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and the insight your word gives us. And Lord, thank you for the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, who guides us, who counsels us, encourages us, comforts us, and does so, so much more. Father, with every passing day, help us to grow in understanding of the wonderful ministry of your Holy Spirit, and help us to live more and more life fully in cooperation and in obedience to your Holy Spirit in every way. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your joy, peace, and grace in much greater measure today. And we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, not only during this Christmas season, but at all times. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for his birth and for how through Mary, the Holy Spirit brought Jesus about. And Father, thank you so much how the Holy Spirit through Jesus brought his actions about. Thank you so much, Father, that Jesus walked in full sync with the Holy Spirit. Father, we choose to trust your word this morning. And I ask that you'd also help us with our unbelief. For all of these great, mighty words that you say of being with us and being and moving in power, that you'd help us with our unbelief in that, Father. Father, you also call us to walk in humbleness. And Father, we acknowledge right now that we cannot move, we cannot do anything outside of what you have given us. So Father, I ask that you'd help us to lockstep with you, just as Jesus did, to listen to the Holy Spirit and to walk alongside you. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking at the topic, the ministry of the Holy Spirit at Christmas. And as we look at the different Christmas narratives, Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, there's really a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, even beyond what you might see initially when you read through the passages. I want to say this too. The study of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is such a wonderful and a very powerful and a very practical study, because the fact is, it's critical that we as believers grow an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what he comes to do in us and through us, and how he desires to use us for the glory of God and the building of God's kingdom. So again, hope that you'll really follow along. Hope that you'll take time to write down the scriptures and take time to go back and read and think on them further, if you would. I did read John chapter 14, just reading a few verses once again from John 14. This is John 14, verse 15. It says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." Again, verse 15 through 17, John chapter 14. Then chapter 14, verse 25 says, "I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." Again, just some of the powerful insights that John chapter 14 draws out about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to take time now specifically, I want to share an article, as we often do, and keep in mind, we would encourage you to email us to get a copy of the article to use as a part of your personal spiritual growth, and also a tool for discipling your family, and a tool to share with others that you may know, fellow church members, extended family, saved or unsaved individuals as well. But the title of this article is "The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit." John 14, 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Then Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. Then Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Again, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the church is commanded, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The three persons of the Godhead, the Trinity, are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he's very present and at work throughout the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit is actively involved with the work and the will of the Lord. The Holy Spirit has several unique and very interesting names and or titles. Some of them are the Holy Ghost, the Helper, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Hand of God, the Breath of God, the Holy Spirit. He is a fire. He's a river. He's the anointing. He's the kingdom of God. He's the blessing. He's grace. And the list could go on and on. He's peace and so, so much more. Every name or title of the Holy Spirit has great insight and meaning behind it. And believers could easily do a whole Bible study on each name or title of the Holy Spirit. We're very wise to consider and meditate on the titles and names of the Holy Spirit and to seek to grow in our understanding of what each title means to us in our individual lives. Let's consider two of those names. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. John 14:26 tells us, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you." Again, John 14:26. Why do we need a comforter in life? One reason that we need a comforter is because so often life can hurt. Life can bring pain, pressure, and difficulty. Life can sting. Life can burn. Sadly, often people look for ways to alleviate the pain of life in many of the wrong places. Too many try to soothe their pain with alcohol, drugs, wrong relationships, and sometimes people indulge in unhealthy lifestyles just to try to numb the pain of life. The blessed Holy Spirit can comfort us in ways that no one or nothing else can. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, the source of all comfort, enters their life and their heart. And with the Holy Spirit comes peace, joy, wisdom, and encouragement, to name just a few of the blessings that he brings. Now, very often we believers must allow ourselves to be stirred and activated upon by the Holy Spirit inside of us to sense his presence. Yet, as believers, he's always with us. We can be stirred by the Spirit by reading the Word of God. We can be stirred by the Spirit by praising and worshiping the Lord and by expressing thanks and gratitude to God. We can receive and sense his comfort and encouragement that only he can give. Again, the Holy Spirit genuinely is a comforter. Then secondly, the Holy Spirit is a fire. Exodus 3, verses 2 and 3 tells us, "And the angel of the Lord appeared in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.'" You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, the ministry of the Holy Spirit at Christmas, and we're sharing from an article entitled, "The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit." We'll be right back.
Cold and weary, with
Of Hannah Kerr, Breath of Heaven. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the ministry of the Holy Spirit at Christmas, and specifically I'm sharing from an article that we wrote entitled The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Continuing with the article, again, this portion of the article is entitled, The Holy Spirit is a Fire, Exodus 3, verses 2 and 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Exodus 3, verses 2 to 3. Then Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Again, Exodus 13, 21. Then Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. The Holy Spirit, who is the presence of God, is a fire, a supernatural fire. In the natural, fire burns and consumes items. Yet the fire of the Holy Spirit does not consume, but gives life, grace, and light to that upon which it lights. In Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush was not consumed, but it had the light of God on it, and it stood out and pointed Moses and the world to God. The Holy Spirit within the heart of a believer does the same thing. The fire of the Holy Spirit does not consume us, but it burns within us in a way that causes the world to be pointed to Christ through us and through our lives. When the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning brightly within us, he gets the attention of the world and points the world to the Savior who lives inside of us. Our job is to live in such a way that the fire of the Holy Spirit within us is allowed to burn brightly. And this can happen daily through our lives as we live continually to add fuel to the fire. How do we do that? Our life of faithful obedience to Christ and our intimate walk with him determines how bright the fire of the Holy Spirit burns within each of us in so many ways. Obedience to the Word of God can cause the fire of the Holy Spirit to become a bonfire within us. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving can cause us to live so that the bonfire of the Holy Spirit can grow more and more. And on as we simply hear and obey the Word of God, we cause the bonfire of the Holy Spirit to burn brighter and brighter in our lives. An important question for every disciple to ask themselves is, how bright does the fire burn within me? Again, the title of that article, The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit. And of course, obviously in the article, we only touch on two of his names. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter and the Holy Spirit is a fire as well. But powerful to take the time to study and learn more and more about the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of any and all believers. Again, we're looking overall at the topic, the ministry of the Holy Spirit at Christmas. And, you know, keep this very important point in mind. There's so much, you know, obviously the topic of the Holy Spirit is just huge. There's so much, so many different directions you can go as you talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. From Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit permeates the Word of God. He inspired every word of the Word of God, and he permeates every word of the Word of God as well. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, once again, in the very beginning of the Bible, it points out something very powerful and interesting to consider about the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, Genesis 1, 2 says, specifically, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, that verse points out that the Holy Spirit was hovering. In other words, he was waiting in the air for direction. Direction from who? Direction from God the Father. And when God the Father spoke, the Holy Spirit went into action. Amongst other things, the Holy Spirit's name is the hand of God. God does things by his hand, and the hand of God is the Holy Spirit. And so, we too, the Holy Spirit spends so much time and an opportunity waiting on you and I as well. When we walk in obedience, the Holy Spirit works mightily in us. When we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works mightily in us. When we obey the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works mightily in us. So our actions, the things we do in obedience to God too, can allow the Holy Spirit to go forth to accomplish and bring about the will of God in any given situation of obedience. So as we look at the Christmas accounts, keep in mind, obviously we can look at any of these four key chapters that make up the Christmas story, Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, but looking very briefly in Matthew chapter 2, the story of the wise men. Now keep in mind, one could say in a sense, the Christmas stories happen and they're kind of they're an Old Testament occurrence. Why is that true? Because the Christmas story takes place before the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in a sense, it's an Old Testament story in that regard. But the fact is here, as we look in chapter 2, we see the wise men, apparently the Holy Spirit did a great work upon their lives. Now, keep in mind, in the Old Testament followers of God didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. They weren't saved. They didn't get saved until after Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, at which point they did have the opportunity to be saved. But the fact is, apparently the Holy Spirit, well, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit worked mightily in and upon the lives of kings, prophets, and priests as well, and individuals as God chose to do so. Well, here we see God's Holy Spirit was working mightily upon the three wise men. Apparently, they knew God. They followed God. They spent time with God in prayer, apparently, because they learned how to listen to God. And when they saw the star, God, by his Spirit, apparently had let them know what it was about. Now, One thing we do find is that angels spoke to spoke to Joseph here in Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Well, one might say, well, what's the connection between the work of angels and the Holy Spirit? They always work in conjunction with one another. When an angel is speaking, the Holy Spirit's speaking as well. Now, you might think, well, why do we need one or the other if they're both doing the same job? That's one of those questions you have to ask the Lord when you get to heaven. But the fact is, angels that were servants of God, they spoke, and it was the Holy Spirit that spoke through them and with them and was present with them. When an angel appears, the Holy Spirit was mightily there, and the presence of God came mightily when an angel would appear in a given situation. So here, apparently, the Holy Spirit did a mighty work upon the lives of the wise men. They knew God. Apparently, they had listened to God. God had directed them, it appears, by His Spirit, both to come and follow the star to find the Messiah. And also keep in mind, once they came and followed the Messiah and then found the Messiah, even the gifts they brought, God had directed them in the selection of gifts. They gave prophetic gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gift of gold is the gift you'd give a king. The gift of frankincense, the gift you'd give to a high priest. And the gift of myrrh, the gift you give for the burial of an individual in Christ. And it was for Christ who is our sacrificial lamb. So they were even listening to the Holy Spirit in the selection of the gifts they came and brought to the Lord as well. So apparently the Holy Spirit had done a great work upon their lives as well. Looking specifically in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and we want to dwell a good bit here. I want to say this very powerfully. Luke chapter 1, of all the four chapters that make up the Christmas narratives, Luke chapter 1 uniquely points out quite a bit about the Holy Spirit. In other words, it mentions the Holy Spirit significantly. In Luke chapter 1, we find out that Zechariah, near the end of the chapter, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, she too gets filled with the Holy Spirit during the activity of this chapter. And John the Baptist even was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Now, keep in mind, there's some mystery surrounding that in view of the fact that this is before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But keep in mind, God never contradicts himself under any circumstances. So when we don't have understanding, it's just a matter of, again, it's good for us to pursue understanding, and we may obtain it in this lifetime, and we may not learn about it, how it worked, until we get to heaven. But the fact is, God does what he does, and he always works in line with his word and his will. So in chapter 1 of Luke, a whole family gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and Elizabeth is filled, and Zechariah are filled as well. Luke chapter 1, picking up specifically at verse 26, it tells us these words. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, who was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Then the angel left her. Now note again in verse 35, specifically, Gabriel tells Mary how she will be impregnated. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, Mary becomes pregnant with the Messiah. What a powerful and a wonderful truth to grasp. The Holy Spirit impregnates her and she becomes the mother of the Messiah. And so keep in mind, there's so much we can draw from that because, you know, just as Mary's unique calling was, it was empowered by the Holy Spirit, every one of us have a unique calling as well. And all of our callings are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're conceived by the Holy Spirit. Our job is to receive what the calling God gives us and, like Mary, say, Lord, may everything you've said about me come true. Whatever God's calling it is that he's placed upon you, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers you to carry out that calling. An important part of receiving that calling is listening to God, listening to his Holy Spirit as he guides and directs and molds and shapes you to be and to walk out that calling, whatever that calling may be. Well, note specifically in verse 39, it says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. Now, interesting to think about this. Mary quickly wants to go visit Elizabeth, who Gabriel has let her know that she's carrying a baby as well. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, specifically the ministry of the Holy Spirit at Christmas. We'll be right back. Michael W. Smith with Christmas Time. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the ministry of the Holy Spirit at Christmas. And picking up now in Luke chapter 1, verse specifically at Verse 39, it tells us these words. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Verses 39 to 45. Now, let me just share too. It appears Mary has already been filled with the Holy Spirit. And even as she calls out Elizabeth's name, her words carry the anointing of God upon them. So that when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, she too is filled with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist, a baby in her womb, he too is filled with the Holy Spirit and he jumps for joy. Now note then, again, the Holy Spirit carries joy with him. All of a sudden, there's joy poured upon Elizabeth, and joy is poured upon even John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth as well. And note, too, another powerful and very interesting work of the Holy Spirit. The moment Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, not only is she filled with joy, not only is John the Baptist filled with joy, and John the Baptist leaps with joy, understand this, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit downloads a whole lot of truth and insight into her in a moment's time so that immediately Elizabeth knew that's the voice of the mother of the Messiah of the world. Now, because again, Elizabeth hadn't had any communication with Mary at all. She didn't know anything at all until that moment. But remember, the Holy Spirit can do, he's the ultimate multitasker. He can do all kinds of things all at once. He all of a sudden let Elizabeth know Mary is the mother of the Messiah. The Messiah is in her womb. And she was excited for little Mary, her little cousin or relative. And note, so Elizabeth's first words are words of blessing to Mary. Her words in verse 42 say, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leaped, jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Now, note too, very interesting too, that John the Baptist is a baby in the womb. And keep this very important truth in mind. Your born again spirit is a whole lot smarter than your mind. You and I know a lot of things with our mind, with our thinking abilities. But your born-again spirit is much smarter. Your born-again spirit works in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, and he knows a whole lot more than your mind does. So there are things sometimes that you know in your spirit that your mind has to be educated about. Well, note here, what in the world can a baby in the womb in their mind know? But John's spirit knew that's the voice of the mother of the Messiah. And he got excited. Remember, John's calling is to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John didn't wait to be born to start his work. He started proclaiming to the world that's the Messiah, even in his mother's womb. How did he do that? Well, we know by this story. When you and I read this story, we see John's witness, even as a baby, he's letting the world know, I'm excited because that's the mother's voice of the Messiah of the world. So again, John, he didn't wait to be born to start his calling. He started his calling inside his mother's womb. Again, these are all issues that relate to the activity of the Holy Spirit. And amongst other things, it's important to understand, we should never limit how the Holy Spirit will work in us and through us. The Holy Spirit is God. He's the hand of God. He can do anything. And here in this beautiful and powerful story, we see him doing a special and a unique work between the fellowship of two mothers uniquely pregnant for the sake and the work of the kingdom of God. How important it is that all of us seek to live a life yielded to the Holy Spirit. Don't underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do in and through any one of us as we live a life yielded to him. Mary had let Gabriel know she wanted to fully cooperate with what God was doing. And of course, Elizabeth, she too. Even another interesting truth that Elizabeth was aware of that the Holy Spirit had let her know. Notice verse 46, verse 45. Elizabeth says, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Now, that's an interesting statement too. Note, Elizabeth, at this point, I guess she knows Zachariah was kind of doubtful when Gabriel brought him the message, and therefore Zachariah lost his voice until after John the Baptist was born. But the Holy Spirit had downloaded in a moment's time into Elizabeth's mind and heart. Mary heard what Gabriel said and believed it and accepted the assignment with faith and gladness. And so she expresses this, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." How did Elizabeth know that Mary had accepted the assignment in faith and obedience? The Holy Spirit told her. Again, the Holy Spirit in a moment's time downloaded a whole lot of truth and insight into the heart and the mind of Elizabeth, and she expresses it here. What a powerful set of insights we can draw from this short passage, just verses 26 through 45 of Luke chapter 1, all about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're wise to understand that the Holy Spirit speaks to us mightily, in part about his ministry through actually every verse in the Word of God. The word Christ, it's the Messiah, the Anointed One. What is the anointing? The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Now, keep in mind, even understanding this, that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus didn't come into existence at his birth. Jesus is eternal. He's God. He's always existed. But there was a point in time in history when he became a human being. He came into the world as a baby, and it was at Christmas time. But keep in mind, one of the powerful truths that's mystery, but at the same time, there's some things, aspects of it we can grasp and comprehend, is that Jesus, who is the Son of God and is God, became a baby and a human being. And in a sense, he limits himself to being a man who needs to depend on the Holy Spirit to follow God. He is the Christ. The Bible says Jesus had the Spirit without measure. And so, but he submitted and followed. He knew how to follow the Holy Spirit, and in his lifetime, he never deviated from what the Holy Spirit directed him to do. He always followed the Holy Spirit. And Jesus stands as our great role model. We are called to be believers who live a life fully submitted to the Spirit of God. And the more we submit to the Spirit of God, the more productive and fruitful we are in the hands of God, to be vessels through which his work and his will can be done. How important it is that we seek to live a life fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God. He knows what to do. He's the hand of God, the power of God. He's the comforter and many, many other things. But you and I are wise to live in full cooperation with him. The Holy Spirit is a river. Our job is not just to put our toes in the river or step into the river. Our job is to jump in the river and swim and follow the current of the Holy Spirit, the river of God. Lord, thank you for the wonderful work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to seek you in your word as we read and study your word. Thank you for the fact that your word is, that the Holy Spirit permeates your word. And as we read and meditate on your word, more and more of the anointing of God pours in and upon our lives. Help us to be wise enough to fill our hearts and our minds with your word daily. And thus more and more receive more and more of the blessed, anointed Holy Spirit into our lives through your word. Help us to fill up on your word daily, and help us to learn to live every day swimming in the river of your Holy Spirit. Help us to live every day with the fire of the Holy Spirit burning brightly within us and upon us, so that we move in the power, the glory, and the grace of your Spirit any and everywhere we go. Help us to know, Lord, that the capacity of the Holy Spirit to use us in so many ways is unlimited. Help us, Lord, to again recognize, Lord, that our job is to let the Holy Spirit do his job in us and through us. Help us to be wise enough to fully submit to him. We thank you and we praise you for the privilege and the honor of living a lifestyle doing just that. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we usually do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening today and you know you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you pray with us from your heart and commit your heart and life to the Lord so that you can be saved and thus become a vessel the Holy Spirit can work in and work through? Would you simply pray this prayer with us in order to make that step today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to seek you in prayer every day. Help me to live a life fully obedient to you every day. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. My email again is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared, the title is The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession, and hope you have a blessed and a Merry Christmas.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.